Good morning and welcome to this week's Sunday podcast. Today is the first Sunday after Trinity Sunday. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. A prayer of thanksgiving. Blessed are you, Creator of all. To you be praise and glory for ever. As your dawn renews the face of the earth, bringing light and life to all creation, may we rejoice in this day you have made. As we wake refreshed from the depths of sleep, open our eyes to behold your presence, and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God for ever. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and for ever. Amen. The Old Testament lesson is from 1 Samuel, chapter 8. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, saying to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. So appoint for us then a king to govern us, like other nations have." But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the folly of their ways, that of having a king to reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands, commanders of fifties, and some to plough his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war, and the equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards, and give them to his courtiers. He'll take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards, and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves, and the best of your cattle and donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, we are determined to have a king over us, so that we may also be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and there renew the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed offerings of well-being before the Lord, and there Saul and all the Israelites rejoiced greatly. Thanks be to God. The psalm set for this morning is Psalm 138. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise to you. I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name because of your love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. In the day that I called to you, you answered me. You put new strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, he watches over the lowly. As for the proud, he regards them from a distance. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will preserve me. You will stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand will save me. The Lord shall make good his purpose for me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the word of your hands. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. A reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. And the crowd came together again, so they could not even eat. When Jesus' family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who had come down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first binding the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin, for they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. But a crowd was sitting round him. And they'd passed the message, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Thanks be to God. If there's one part of the New Testament that always bothered me slightly, it's that part we read today where Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" It always appeared to me to be a bit rude. What do you think about this story and what Jesus said? Has it ever bothered you? Looking again at the actual text, maybe it doesn't actually mean what I thought at all. I suppose now I tend to interpret Jesus' response as a lesson to those sat round about him. He doesn't actually say he refused to go outside and see his family, though that's what I assumed, and one might think that. We don't know for sure. But it does tell us that Jesus spoke to those gathered immediately round him, so presumably was making a spontaneous teaching point, as they say. So taking Jesus' words at face value, he seems to be saying that we are all family in the eyes of God, in the same way that we use a phrase like brothers and sisters in church. To be honest, I'd rather hope that he might have been teaching them the danger of nepotism in politics, employment, and the church. So I think now that he was teaching the people gathered round him, not his family outside. But there's slightly more to it, I think. Do we see the deeper point in the text? It's not simply those who are present, but those who are living the Jesus way that are the brothers and sisters, mother, father, and so on. It's a both and. So Jesus raises a good point in general, as we could ask the same question in congregations. Do we favour certain people unfairly, or do we treat people equally in the eyes of God? The brothers and sisters are those who are doing the will of God. Our going out sentences at the end of the service include the phrase, "one great company of disciples." So I think that was what Jesus was getting at, rather than putting his family down. Last Sunday was our annual meeting. This is naturally seen as a kind of business affair, but to my mind, at its core, it's about thinking how we are to minister to the people round about us. That would include our location here in the city, our location where we, the members, live, our location at work and leisure. What do we aim to do in these places? What is your aim each time you enter them? In the context of Europe and what a church is to do, and perhaps in Indeed, the world, it seems, of increasing polarization, of so-called strong leaders who often look to be simply aiming at increasing their own power and position. The Christian message of simply peace and goodwill to all, as we sing with the angels at Christmas, that is our message. In the prevailing atmosphere of an increasingly separatist mentality, we in the church, in contrast, are to preach community, the love of neighbour, concern for the other, the meek, the poor, the dispossessed. We therefore do have an opinion on rich nations not sharing the vaccine very well, about power concentrated in too few hands, about national structures that leave so many poor, about financial systems that favour the rich. Not surprising, really, as it's them who make the rules. Give us a king, the people shouted to Samuel. Well, they got one in Saul. People in church today will glimpse the artwork by Lydia Kozanitsky of King Saul. It's intriguing because of the images surrounding it, or should I say rather under it, downtrodden perhaps. To me, it feels dark and menacing. It reminds me of war, chariots and horses. And is Saul perhaps supposed to look like a puppeteer? Or are they the reins of his chariot? The king is central. He holds all the power. It fits our world today with the caution of Samuel in our reading. He warns the people that they really don't want to go down that route, like that of neighbouring countries, of giving power to an individual who will inevitably lord it over them eventually. Who, he tells them, will take their sons into war, their daughters into other activity, cream off the best of all their produce, of wine, olives, crops, livestock, possessions, and inevitably their own freedoms and liberty. Isn't that why they fled Egypt? How quickly do they forget? And Samuel listed a lot of infrastructure required by a king and the cost. It's their money and possessions that will be taken to resource and finance it all. And what about their freedom? Now, how contemporary is that story now? Looking around the world at recent elections or whatever some such dubious activities are sometimes known, whether it's in South America, North America, Europe, to the East, what do we see? There have been so-called strong leaders elected to fix the people's frustrations. And what do we see them do? Anything like Samuel predicted? I don't think I can really argue with the commentators who point out that so many countries are currently seeing the erosion of journalism, people's personal freedoms, diminishing freedom of expression, meeting or demonstrating. And don't think I'm pointing the finger, as I hear from friends in the UK about similar trends in legislation there. What am I to say? Well, perhaps try this. Who of our world leaders could we ever imagine washing our feet? There was a third reading today from Corinthians. I'd like to leave that with you. Let's encourage one another with its words, we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. And why? So that grace, the grace of God, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving and the glory of God. And that is our concern now as a church, and is always meant to be our concern, that the grace of God would be extended to more and more, beyond our walls, to more and more people. Peace, goodwill to all. This needs to be a strong message in our current world. The collect for today, the first Sunday after Trinity. Let us pray. God of truth, help us to keep your law of love and to walk in ways of wisdom, that we may find true life in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless us and preserve us from all evil, and keep us in eternal life. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.